This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Show everybody, Kate Delaney's my name. Thanks for hanging with us. So much is happening across this great country, some of it not so great. I am pleased to say, though, we are not talking about tornadoes this time around. Sadly, however, in Fort Lauderdale, they're dealing with a wall of water, lots of flooding. They're calling it a historic flood, up to 10, even 14 inches in some places, although that is subsiding, so that's the good news there. They were in a drought, and within 24 hours, they were no longer in a drought situation. Boom, just like that. Things turned on a dime, and you get it, because we see this happening all over the place in different scenarios. So this was a really strange thing, because it's something they hadn't seen there in quite a while. But no tornadoes to report, because, boy, we have had a kind of a whiplash kind of couple of weeks when it comes to tornadoes and tornado damage. So the tables are turned. The former president has decided to sue his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, for $500 million for alleged breaches of fiduciary duty, is what he's calling it. The lawsuit specifically says the defendant breached his duties owed to the plaintiff by virtue of their attorney-client relationship by both revealing the plaintiff's confidences and spreading falsehoods about the plaintiff likely to be embarrassing or detrimental and partook in other misconduct. So anyway, the lawsuit was filed in a Miami federal court, and we'll see where this ends up. The Trump spokesperson said in a statement, the lawsuit and the many wrongdoings by Michael Cohen, a convicted felon, stand for themselves and have been admitted to by Cohen himself through his falsehood-filled books, podcasts, and constant media appearances. And, of course, this comes on the heels of what we know, the former president pleading not guilty last week to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records, which involved reimbursements to Cohen for hush money paid to a porn star actress, Stormy Daniels, in the closing weeks of the 2016 campaign. There was a vigil that was held on Wednesday night for remembering the victims, for the people who barely survived, for anybody that just had a heavy heart, and who doesn't when it comes to what happened at that bank in Louisville. There were hundreds and hundreds of people that gathered. The five bank employees who were killed in the shooting ranged from Tommy Elliott in his early 60s to Joshua Barrick, who had two small children, and he was a senior VP who was just 40 years old. Sadly, the shooting was the 15th mass killing in the country this year, and it comes just a couple of weeks after a former student killed three children and three adults at a Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, I was thinking about this. That's about 160 miles kind of south of Louisville, so really, really tough time for those cities, and certainly for anybody who was personally affected by it. Just an awful, awful thing. And there is now a big movement to ban assault weapons again, and that's happening with a few Republicans who are saying that that needs to happen, and there certainly needs to be better background checks. There was a big push for that with at least one Republican governor anyway. This is interesting to me. How does this happen? This could have just been an accident where, I don't know, it fell out of somebody's coat pocket, but Are you really stuffing these kind of papers in your coat pocket? Northern Ireland police are investigating sensitive U.S. documents. They were just found in the street. It was a suspected security breach. It's a five-page document. There was somebody who lived there who called into the BBC finding it and said that there was this file. It was close to where he lived, and it detailed the plans for President Biden's visit to the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. And it had information on the roads being closed, so what roads were closed, who the commanders were, and their phone numbers. So the BBC said that the police service of Northern Ireland confirmed that they knew of the breach and that they're investigating it, and then felt compelled to put out a statement saying that we take the safety of visiting dignitary members of the public and our officers and staff extremely seriously and are going to do the appropriate thing here. It's interesting because this was President Biden's big visit, the largest since the G8 summit. That happened back in 2013. They had almost 3,000 officers that were part of the operation, the planning, everything that you have to do, ensuring the safety, the security, all of that. And that was put in play. So it is pretty curious, pretty creepy that those documents were just there on the street. And it makes you wonder, I don't know, was it a weird slip up? A pretty brutal slip up, if it's that. Was something else more nefarious, I don't know, going on there or not? All right, this is funny because we need some funny, right? Right at the top, we do. And we just went through tax season, and maybe some of you are in the throes of finishing taxes because that date is rapidly coming upon us. So I was reading something in the Wall Street Journal about tax refunds gone wild, is what the title was. And the conversation in the tone of the article was about social media influencers, which, of course, there are lots of them in the U.S., and what can they write off? So some of the write-offs that they tried to write off included a red baby grand piano, 40 pounds of cotton candy, $864 worth of sex toys, the Treasury Department, somebody worked for the Treasury Department and now actually funds influencers in a company called Creative Juice, says the tax code was written before the internet existed, let alone YouTube. So imagine what, I mean, the rules, the IRS rules would have to be pretty antiquated. I mean, as somebody who owns a business, I would say absolutely, because do they realize what would be considered something that would be necessary for a job, right? And look, Adobe, the software company, estimates about 14 million people in the U.S. earn money through social media posts. So they get revenue directly from internet publishing companies, you know, bonuses, etc., and advertisers and selling merchandise or charging subscription fees, which is very, very common. You have Facebook and Snapchat and Pinterest and Rumble and YouTube and on and on and on and on. Oh, what fun it would be to be in the position of going through all those write-offs. Stay with us.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Can't we use some of that in our lives? I think so. So there's no visit to the man cave in this particular show, but there's a couple of interesting sports stories that are worth mentioning. One of them is Jeff Bezos, who seems like he just buys up whatever he wants. He is the king of Amazon. He's not going to bid on the Washington Commanders. That's a big deal. So he had apparently some interest in buying it. And he just never made a bid. He hired a firm. They did that exploratory thing. And then Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, then he decided he wasn't going to do it. So how about that? I mean, look, his net worth, you know what his net worth is? $125 billion. So maybe he needed to save a few bucks. I'm not sure. There are others who are interested in buying the Commanders, including a guy who owns the 76ers in Philly and also the New Jersey Devils. He apparently submitted an offer of about $6 billion for the Washington football team. His name is Josh Harris. So someone's going to buy it, but who knows who ultimately that will be. You know, it's about filling the seats. And when you're paying that kind of money compared to what they paid in the 70s for teams, and now how ridiculously high the amounts are when you're talking about NFL teams, but it's ultimately what they yield. So whatever they can get, they're going to sell it for. And certainly Daniel Snyder is absolutely, and anyone else connected to him, absolutely, that's what they're going to do. Because so many people are paying attention to it, it's worth a mention again. The Rays beat the Red Sox 9-7, so they have won in Major League Baseball 12 in a row. They're one short of the best start since 1900. Yeah, so if they can keep on going. You know, you look at the Brewers in 87, the Braves in 82, they were 13-0. And now Tampa Bay, their win streak matches their team record set in June of 2004, and all eyes are on this team. They've outscored their opponents 92-27. Wow. So good for the Rays. You know, they get made fun of a lot because of the kind of dumpy place that they play in, the Tropicana Field, which I think is okay. It's just that it's inside. And of course, with the oppressive heat in the summer, there's no way you could not have an inside facility to play in. So that's why that's happening in the first place. But they are definitely drawing attention because of the fact that they're winning so many in a row. All right, this draws attention probably that some of you don't like and wish would go away. There are a lot of people that rent, right? You rent because you can't afford the crazy, insane prices for a house, and then it doesn't make sense because you used to get pretty good rent where you are. I know a lot of people in that boat. So rental prices were by far the largest contributor to the rise in inflation on an annual basis in March. There was just some new information that was released, data by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it showed while consumers paid less for gasoline and groceries, which caused the consumer price index, which is used to measure inflation, to moderate to 5% in March from a year earlier, housing costs went up 8% in the same time period. So then you look at what that offsets, and never fun to have to pay more. So why is rent so high? Over the past 2 years, the U.S. median rent rose 18%, and that's because of the competitive housing market. You had higher mortgage rates, and so people were shut out of home buying, and it contributed to the rents. There were newly constructed apartments that hit the market, though, in some areas. And if there were a lot of apartments that went up, to be sure, there may be some bargains to be had there. You know, you can feel the pinch, because even when you look at vacation home sales, that's a big thing for a lot of people. Oh, that's my dream. That's my dream. So the hottest segment of the pandemic's really hot housing market has just gone bitterly cold. The demand for vacation homes, right, because of remote work and low mortgage rates. So that has completely tanked. Second homes down 52%. 52%. That's a big, big number. And it's because of the looming recession or not recession or just how tight things are. And again, because of the mortgage rates are so incredibly high, who wants to pay that? And being worried about a recession, and then during a recession, what frivolous thing are you going to cut out of your life? And certainly a vacation home would be the thing that you would cut out of your life, right? Save the dough. You want to save the dough. All right, not to be confusing for most people, because sometimes it is. When you go to a national park, trying to figure out what trail you're going on, where you are, all of that, the whole navigation process becomes so big. I think this is really cool if it works. Google Maps is making it easier to be able to go to a national park, I guess even without cell service. So they're rolling out 4 updates to help anybody who is going to a national park, even, again, if you lose cell phone coverage. So what happens is, at a glance, there's photo highlights you can click to find details and images and reviews from the Google Maps, popular trails mapped out from start to finish. That's big. Crowdsourced photos, tips, and reviews. Nice. Detailed directions for park entrances and trailheads, whether you're by car, foot, or bike, and park maps that you can download if you do it offline, and you can see the location and then see where other things are that you need to use in the park. I think that's great because it can, you can get lost so easy in parks like Yellowstone or Yosemite, and with all the different places that you can go. And it's the worst when you can't find where, well, I want to go to this one place that someone told me about, or you get lost on a trail. That's happened to me a couple of times where we see the sign, you know, you're looking at the sign and the arrow is kind of going in one direction and then you don't see any humans and you're wondering, are we making the right loop? Are we going in the right direction or are we going in the wrong direction? In fact, the last time that the Hubs and I were in New Mexico, which is a wonderful place, put it on your list, the Petroglyph Parks and Sandia Mountains. The Sandia Mountains are pretty cool, and that's what happened. We kind of got stuck in the Sandia Mountains trying to figure out what trail we were on and just watching the, looking at the rickety sign and the exhausted people and asking questions. And boy, I could have used the Google map to figure out that dilemma. Wait, if we go this way, I think we're kind of coming back around. So I'm not too sure about it. A lot of times that happens when you're deeper on a trail somewhere. So thumbs up for that. It make it so much easier to also get the suggestions from people where there's something that you want to see, and with their photographs, etc., just being able to hit that and look at that. Wow, that's a great use for technology. For as many things as we can say that are annoying about technology, I will say this. If you use it correctly, those Google Maps are a lifesaver and a time saver, too, because you just plug that in. I mean, I use them all the time. You just plug that in, and they're pretty accurate, I have to say. I haven't had any problems with that. Remember, people used to say the thing of you say something into your phone and ask for directions, and then sometimes people are driving and they feel like they're going right off the cliff. With the Google Maps, you know, that's not really happening. That's the good news there. A couple of great authors in store coming up next, so hang through it. I'll meet you on the flip side.
As the little nut tree, nothing would it bear for me but a silver nut in it. And the golden bear alone.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. As inflation continues to surge, significant price hikes are evident across various sectors, including auto insurance, baby food, and outpatient hospital services. A recent report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates a notable increase in 12-month price growth, rising from 3.2% in February to 3.5% in March. Former President Trump brushed off reports suggesting his campaign is lagging behind Democrats in fundraising. Speaking in Atlanta, he pointed out that despite having less money than Hillary Clinton in 2016, he emerged victorious. House Speaker Mike Johnson is warning any attempt to remove him from his position would result in chaos within the House. Johnson reiterated his leadership approach Wednesday prior to a meeting with Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene. Greene had previously initiated a motion to vacate the Speaker's chair before the House recessed for 2 weeks last month. John Schaefer, USA News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Well, you're going to really enjoy Janie Goss. She has written a game-changing book, and we are happy to have her here on Author's Corner as part of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Her book is called Love, Laughter, and Longevity, The Art and Science of Well-Being. That really says it all. Janie, this has been your life. Your life has been really about helping people of all sorts. So let's talk about, before we dive into the book, what led you down the path of writing the book in the first place?
Right. Well, I had a career as a physiotherapist, and I became very interested in stress because of various life events that occurred to me that were very stressful. So I set about learning as much as I could about stress, how it affected me, what the outcomes were, how it was triggered, and learning lots of ways of dealing with it. And along the way, I discovered the benefits of laughter. I actually did a seminar and a clown workshop with Dr. Patch Adams, who was the original clown doctor, and that really inspired me. And then in November 2000, I trained to do laughter yoga with Dr. Kataria, who created it in 1995 in India with his wife. And so laughter came into my life, and I found it very beneficial. And basically, I learned lots about stress, how to deal with it, and how wonderful laughter was. And I wanted to be healthy, so I looked into that as well as I got older. And so I had the opportunity to write a book because I thought it was all worth sharing with other people.
Yeah, and isn't it wonderful? I mean, you are sharing it with other people, and what a gift to this audience and beyond this audience too, as well. So you talk about stress, and stress leads to heart attacks. So many things happen when people are stressed. What are some things that we can do? And actually, what are some of the early signs, the warning signs that you are really having trouble with stress?
Well, they can be physical, emotional, interpersonal, and so on. You know, some people get a headache or a backache, or they can't sleep, or they lose their appetite, or they comfort eat. You know, and sometimes you get irritable and frustrated. You have difficulty getting on with other people, and that affects your relationships. So everyone responds in a different way. Of course, we all have the fight or flight response, which is there to protect us basically from tigers, which no longer inhabit our world in every day. But sometimes we are so stressed that our fight and flight response is switched on all the time. And that is very bad for our health because it causes high cortisol levels, and then your immune system doesn't work as well, and then you're at risk of illness and so on. So picking up your early warning signs of stress and knowing what stresses you and having a number of healthy strategies to cope with it so that it doesn't get worse, or even asking for help is really, really important. If you're so overwhelmed that you're not coping, you really need to ask for help because you don't want to spiral down. And because of the stigma of mental health, people are sometimes reluctant, but we have to get rid of that stigma. You know, anxiety and depression are normal parts of life when we have life events that stress us. So, you know, that's part of being human.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. It's part of being human, and it's so tough to deal with. And you suggest so many things in your book about this. And I want to talk about how you laid the book out, because it's not just, oh, let me sit back and read. You can pick it up at any point, but you also have action steps because you've got questions at the end of every chapter, right?
Yes, that's correct. So that people can reflect on the content of the chapter and ask themselves these questions, whether there's some action they could take or some goal they could set to improve their health and well-being.
Yeah. And we're going to circle back to laughter and your description of laughter. What is laughter to you? And you kind of gave us a little insight into that when you were talking about Patch Adams and how important it was and what you realized.
Laughter has, or particularly laughter yoga, has become a very important part of my life. A couple of years after I met Patch Adams and was very inspired by him, I had the good fortune to train to be a laughter yoga leader with Dr. Madan Kataria and his wife, who came here to Perth in Western Australia in November 2000. And that was a revelation, because I already knew the benefits of laughter from Patch, but laughter yoga is a way of inviting more laughter into your life and getting a healthy dose of laughter, which I believe is the best medicine.
Boy, so do I. And you see that. I mean, when people are able to laugh, they can let a lot of that stress go. And I think that's key, and just how it makes you feel. And you talk about, you look at the title, Love, Laughter, and Longevity. So what about love? Tell us about love.
Well, the foundations of well-being, according to Martin Seligman, who created positive psychology, is positive emotions and positive relationships. So the first one that comes to mind, of course, is love. And we all need to give and receive love in our lives. And someone actually called it vitamin L. So love is very important. Getting up in the morning, having someone or something to love, something to look forward to, this is all very important to your well-being. And gratitude also is the foundation of well-being. In fact, yesterday, the 21st of March, was International Day of Happiness, and their logo was Be Mindful, Grateful, and Kind. So gratitude is really important, and kindness is really important. If you're feeling a bit low, if you can do something kind for someone else, that will improve your well-being.
Ooh,
and gratitude,
so
you know, we've been through some difficult times in the last few years, but there's always something to be grateful for. And they suggest at the end of the day that you think of three things that went well and express your gratitude for them. And this helps to end your day on a positive note. So It might be as simple as enjoying your meal or having a chat with a friend on the phone or seeing some beautiful flowers. We need to be mindful of those little positive, joyful moments in our day so that we are continually boosting the positive pathways in our brain, because the negative pathways tend to predominate. Your brain is always on the lookout for threat and danger, and it tends to focus on the negative. So we have to build up the positive pathways to improve our health and well-being. And then we've got something to be grateful for.
Absolutely. Boy, there's some big takeaways already that we're getting from you, Jannie. There's no question about that. So when people read the book, what do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope it will teach them to recognize how stress affects them, what causes their stress, how they react to it, and learn a whole lot of different strategies that they can apply. I mean, the simplest strategy to calm yourself if you're feeling a bit agitated is just to take some slow, deep breaths through your nose and just focus on the air passing in and out through your nostrils and notice if the temperature is different between breathing in and breathing out. And that calms your nervous system, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's sort of first aid.
Yeah.
But actually, laughter is fantastic because it lowers your cortisol levels. Cortisol is the stress hormone, right? And when you laugh, you reduce your cortisol levels, which means your immune system can work better. So if you're unwell, laughter can help with the healing process because it stimulates your immune system. And so that is one of the best reasons to invite more laughter into your life. It strengthens the immune system, and it also provides a dose of what we call happy hormones. Dopamine, the pleasure hormone, oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, serotonin, your mood hormone, and endorphins, which improve your mood and can relieve pain. So we've got these wonderful chemicals in our brain which we can stimulate just by laughing, and even putting a smile on your face helps as well. And the thing is, if you can smile at someone, they tend to smile back because we have mirror neurons. So if I'm smiling at you, you tend to smile back, and it's almost an automatic response. And the same with laughter. That's one of the reasons why laughter is contagious, because our brains cause us to mimic what's happening in front of us, you know, in someone else's facial expression or actions.
Yeah, and which is wonderful. I mean, all of this is fascinating, and it's all in your book, Love, Laughter, and Longevity, The Art and Science of Well-Being. And you have some great quotes, too. And I asked you a tough question if you had a favorite quote, and I think you actually have a couple. Tell us, give us a sneak peek on some of the quotes in your book.
Oh, well, the first one I'll share is from Mark Twain, and it actually says, "Beware of health books, you might die of a misprint." And there's a lovely one from Maya Angelou who said, "People won't remember what you said, they won't remember what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel." And that's the magic of laughter yoga, because people, when they have a good session of laughter yoga, they feel different, they feel better, they feel more relaxed, alert, their mood improves. It's magical.
I like that. It's magical. All right, Jannie, tell us where we can get your book.
Right. Well, it's about, there are only a few hard copies around, but you can get it as an ebook on Amazon and printing on demand in the UK and US.
Oh, I liked it. That's so easy. So again, all roads lead to Amazon. Of course, easy to get it there. And what a delight to have you share so many positive things, I think, with us that we can take away, what we can do with stress, why laughter is so important. And there's so much more in your book. Again, what a terrific read. And I love the positivity. I can feel it coming out through the mic even, and I'm sure the listeners can as well. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kate. Thank you so much.
It's a rich man's world.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
To Australia this time around in Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, for a conversation with a really fascinating man. Actually, in our talk off the air, Richard Marin joins us. His book, McAllister's Way, it's the McAllister's Line series, and it's really interesting when you look at the characters, actually, that he's fleshed out in this book, and you look at his background, having been part of the Royal Australian Air Force, Vietnam, think ex-military chopper and heavy transport pilot, and boy, can you imagine the adventures. So, Richard, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
What prompted you to write this? What was the motivation behind McAllister's Way?
I've always liked writing. Ever since I was a kid, I was good at writing essays at school, so I just wanted to write. And when I finished my flying career, I knew that I had to do something, because when I first joined the airlines after I left the Air Force, all the old pilots were in this. They retired at 60. And all I did was fly and play golf, and they were all dead at 63. So I took note of that and said, I really don't want to retire. I want to go on and do something else. And luckily, I was up here on the Sunshine Coast. I went to university as a maturing student, and I started studying English studies, graphic design, and visual arts. And from then on, I just went on to writing books. From what I learned there, my writing style improved enormously, and the stories just came. They just came.
Yeah, boy. And this one really came. So tell us about McAllister's Way. What can we expect in reading this novel?
you can expect lots of adventure. You can expect it moves along. It's about it, without making a spoiler, I can tell you it's about a young kid. He's 15 years old, and for a lot of reasons, he finds himself going to New Guinea. He lived in Queensland, so not far from where I live now, and he goes to New Guinea through a lot of adventures and misadventures, and he's looking for his dad, who's been lost on the Kokoda Trail during the fighting in New Guinea during the 1940s. And it's all about the characters he meets. It has bad guys and good guys and lots of historical little cameos that give the book some authenticity. So if you were to Google lots of things that happened in the book, you'll say, oh, look, there's a whole page on that. And so the main thing is lots of adventure, a little bit of a romance, and some, I hope, characters you're going to come and love, even the ones that the bad guys you're going to come and love to hate.
Yeah, and you know, it, I think that there is something about that because you really are great at writing the characters. And I assume, because like I said in the beginning, this is drawn so much from your own adventures. Did this just kind of pour out of you when you were thinking about things that happened while you were flying?
Absolutely. There are some scenes in the book where the plane flies through the eye of a hurricane. That's something I've actually done, and I don't recommend it. And there's a scene where they find a big bomb dump left over from World War II. And that was something that happened to me when I was working up in New Guinea, and we had to send the bomb disposal team up to defuse all these bombs. And they were in an airport that was just a little airstrip, and they're only about 20, 30 meters away from the airstrip, but the grass is so high, and the local people knew they were there, but they didn't ever think to tell anybody. Anyway, somebody found out, and we went and the bomb disposal team blew them up one at a time.
Wow, that just gives me chills thinking about it. And you can't just drop the eye of the hurricane on us and not tell us that story, Richard. Tell us about the hurricane, and what was that like?
Well, fly through the eye wasn't so bad. It's what you see. It's a nice big calm area. And we were flying from Changi, which is Singapore, down to Darwin. And the hurricane started brewing up. It started as a low. And when we got to Darwin, we had to land there. And landing in a hurricane is it's interesting because the wind is blowing everywhere. The weather is so bad. There's no visibility. And had we been anywhere else but Darwin, which has got a huge, huge long strip, I don't know whether we'd have got in. And the turbulence, well, you have to be strapped in, I tell you.
Wow, the turbulence. I'm just thinking, I can't think of anything that would be similar to anything I've experienced. We talk about how awful hurricanes are, and you run from the water, and there you are in that situation. Did you ever think some of the adventures you had when you were learning to be a pilot, did you think it would be like it was?
Well, no, it didn't, because I'll tell you how I became a pilot, and it was all by sheer accident. When I was at school, in my last year of school, was a pal of mine, and he always wanted to be a pilot. And so one day he said he was going down, he had an appointment with the recruiting office, and this was in Perth and in West Australia. And so it was the school holidays, so I said I'd come along and keep him company and maybe go to have a movie, see a movie later on. And we got there, and he went in to do the interviews and the aptitude tests, and there was a recruiting sergeant, and he was eyeing me off a bit, and he asked me a lot of questions about my education. And I was doing quite well at school, not spectacularly, but well enough. And so the upshot was that he said, do you want to apply for the Air Force? And I had no idea what I was going to do after school. So I applied, and they took me in and knocked this other guy back, which seems a bit of a shame, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? And then you, again, now we turn to your writing and some of the stories that you've talked about here. When you went through the stories in your mind, was it tough to decide what to leave out, what to maybe put in a future book?
Oh, no, not at all. No. It was very, very easy because writing historical books, I love writing historical novels because they don't change. They're about things that happened in the past. So if you write a book about the present day and technology overtakes it in the future, it doesn't. Say you're writing a science fiction book, and you write it about, say you wrote it 50 years ago and you wrote it about 2000, and the technology overtook it, and you look at it and say, oh, well, it didn't actually work out that way. But with history, it's great because everything is there. And if you, one thing I wasn't very good at school was research, but when I went to uni, I became absolutely fine at it. I loved it. And you go into these historical websites and pages, and the information just pours out. And quite often, all you have to do is take your characters and plonk them into the middle of the events, and your story just gets told for you. One of the books I wrote, which was a prequel called McAllister and the Great War, all the sequences there were actual events in World War One, spread over all the theatres. I go to Northern Ireland, I go to the Western Front, I go to the Syrian desert, and everywhere I found stories just waiting to be told. So all I did was put my characters in there, and story just wrote itself.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about these historical novels. You did have to do the research, though. I mean, so you're nailing the specific things and then telling the stories, as you said, that needed to be told. So that had to be fascinating to uncover some of it.
Research is essential because there will always be somebody out there that will take you to task if you get it wrong. And being Mr. Smarty Pants myself, I've read a few books and I go, ha-ha, that's not quite right. So what I've done is made sure and tried really to ensure that no one's going to catch me out on the details.
I like that. And we're speaking with Richard Marmon again, McAllister's Way. That's the name of the book. And he's mentioned there, of course, there's a prequel as well. We're talking about his life and pouring it into the book and what the book's about. What do you hope people walk away with when they read your novels?
I want them to walk away and say, gosh, that was a jolly good read. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to tell all my pals about it.
And of course, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. we're looking at, with Great Wireless Media, of doing some audiobooks later on this year, and we're really hoping that they will find a market, because I believe audiobooks are big business these days, and up till now my books have only been available as paperbacks or ebooks.
I like it, and audiobooks also too, just like this interview, bring the story to life. In the end, for you, it sounds like it's just been a pleasure to write. It's just been a joy. Is that accurate?
I have really loved it. I've really loved bringing the stories out. And do you know what the nicest thing is? It's people you don't know who've read your stories and said, oh, I really enjoyed that. I'm going to read your next one. And I think that's where you get your another great comment I had from somebody that I didn't know was, you don't write like anybody else. And I thought that was probably the best compliment you could pay an author.
I absolutely agree, and it's a perfect place to end this. Richard Marmon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Georgia, oh my Georgia, song of you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.